Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumry. Juneau police are asking for help finding a missing 15-year-old. Gabriel Reagan has been missing since Wednesday, according to his mother, Destiny Panamera. She says she wants to know that he's safe. Reagan is 6'2 and 200 pounds. Panamera saw him last wearing a black Helly Hansen jacket, tan jogger pants, and white Nike Air Force One sneakers. Panamera says people have contacted her to tell her they've seen him. She says anyone who sees him should call Juneau police. Craig Campbell with the Juneau police says they've been trying to locate Reagan for a few days.
We've been following up on locations of where he's been seen.
But police have yet to make contact with Reagan. Panamera says she can't help but worry about him. Any sightings of Reagan can be reported at 907-586-0600. Anonymous tips can be made through JuneauCrimeLine.com. Avalanche activity is high in Juneau after more than 30 inches of snow fell over the holiday weekend. A Monday evening avalanche blocked Thane Road, and a Tuesday morning avalanche dusted homes in the Barrens neighborhood. No damage has been reported. Emily Osborne was in her house on Glacier Highway when the Barrens slide came down.
I think it was more dramatic since it was so sunny and a bluebird day outside. And all of a sudden, the lighting in my living room just kind of changed. It all of a sudden went from like bright sunshine to like more of like a dark golden color. And I looked out the window and all I could see was just snow.
Osborne has lived in the house since 2019. But she says this is the first time she witnessed an avalanche coming down.
But it probably lasted for about 30 seconds, and it was just like a blizzard outside.
The storm gave way to clear skies and cold temperatures that are expected to persist until the weekend. Juneau's emergency programs manager, Tom Matisse, said it will take a few days for the weekend snow to bond with the existing snowpack. In the meantime, strong winds over the ridges could trigger more avalanches.
The area that slid on Barrens this morning was a very small piece of much bigger avalanche path. So there's still danger up there.
Juneau's urban avalanche advisory was high as of Tuesday morning. The extreme level is typically reserved for scenarios that could damage houses. But Matisse said avalanche country should be avoided, especially the Flume Trail and the entirety of Gold Creek Basin and Perseverance Basin. Meanwhile, Thane Road has reopened after two avalanches blocked it on Monday night. But the Alaska Department of Transportation says people should not stop in the slide zone on their way through. A winter storm dumped nearly 30 inches of snow over the holiday weekend in Juneau. Tuesday morning, residents and city officials were beginning to dig out of the snow. KTOO's Clarice Larson stopped to chat with people downtown and has the story.
For some people in Juneau, the aftermath of the storm meant spending Tuesday morning shoveling their driveways or figuring out what to do with their kids on their snow day. Others, like Robert Jared Lewis, spent the morning outside, waiting for the downtown library to open. He says he's been outside since 7 a.m. after staying at the city's warming shelter.
For 2 months, I just slept outside because I didn't want to go over there to the warming shelter. That was my personal, but it just started getting too cold.
Lena Gilbertson was walking her dog, Dia, along the seawalk on a thin path dug through the deep snow. Both wore coats against the wind from the channel. Gilbertson says the storm was much larger than she expected.
I don't remember one like this in quite a while. I'm on day two of work being canceled.
Many people downtown were walking to the Alaska State Capitol. Tuesday marked the start of the legislative session. Juneau Senator Jesse Keel spent his weekend doing what most people were doing.
That was a lot of shuffling.
Yeah.
A lot of shuffling. Shoveled out off my walks. My neighbors opened up the alley, pushed people's cars up hills and around corners when they got stuck in downtown streets. And it happens.
Down at the harbor, three boats had sunk completely under the weight of the snow. Harbor Master Matt Cresswell says three more were saved just in time. No pollution has been detected so far.
In my time in Juneau, this is the worst I've seen it.
He says the Douglas Harbor is having problems too, and the docks and harbor staff is working overtime to make sure no more vessels sink.
We are expending resources that could be used right now to clear parking lots and docks. We're expending those resources for boats that could have been not sunk if people would have been down to shovel them off in time.
He says it affects everyone when people don't take care of their boats. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
Over the last decade, landslides in southeast Alaska have killed 11 people and caused millions of dollars in damage. For a long time, the state's capital city has been spared from deadly landslides. That means few remember the devastating scene that unfolded on a stormy Sunday evening in November 1936. But as KTOO's Anna Canny reports, Juno's deadliest natural disaster is an important reference point as Alaska faces a future where landslides could become even more common.
In a letter to his family, dated December 1936, George Webb wrote, "Juno is built against a hill, not just a rolling land, but gigantic mountains of hard rock covered with shale and loose dirt."
So that description's quite accurate.
That's Sonia Nagorski. She's a professor of geology at the University of Alaska Southeast.
The slopes around Juno are all very steep. A lot of them are over 30, 35 degrees, and that is well beyond a threshold where slopes are prone to failure.
Across Southeast Alaska, entire neighborhoods have been built along steep slopes, and that makes the region vulnerable to deadly landslides. Over the last decade, slides in Sitka, Haines, and Wrangell have killed a total of 11 people. But for Juno, it's been a long time. So long that 94-year-old Albert Shaw might be the only living Juno resident who was downtown on the night of November 22, 1936, when a landslide killed 15 people.
It was about 7:30 in the evening, and I remember it very well.
Newspaper accounts say it was pouring rain that Sunday. It had been for weeks, but many people were warm and dry inside, sharing meals, playing cards, or getting ready for bed. Shaw was at his grandfather's house.
We were reading, my brothers and I. I was probably looking at a picture book at 6 years of age. I doubt if I was reading. But in any case, all of a sudden the lights go out.
He didn't know it at the time. But just a few blocks away, a neighborhood had been completely buried. The landslide interrupted the quiet evening with a deafening rumble. Lights flickered out. Rooms began to twist and tilt. And furniture went flying as a sea of mud carried whole buildings down the mountain. The morning paper told stories of narrow escapes. Hillside residents jumped from windows to get to solid ground. People on the street below were pelted with stones and clumps of earth as they fled. The Alaska Daily Empire wrote, "The mighty cascade of dirt and rock roared down the mountainside on its mission of death, sweeping all before it." In seconds, the slide engulfed a boarding house and two family homes. Shaw still remembers seeing the aftermath.
The other structure was crushed up. It was an apartment building, literally crushed.
The slide buried 23 people. Some made it out with bruises and broken bones. But when morning came, many were still missing. A 20-foot pile of churned earth and splintered timber was packed up against the cold storage building, close to where the cruise ship terminal stands today. An explosion in the crushed apartment building sparked fires that burned for hours, sending plumes of steam and smoke billowing up from underground. People circled in the rain, calling out for their loved ones. Shaw remembers that his father, a volunteer firefighter, joined the makeshift rescue crews.
And they put some of the miners to work shoveling the muck, you know, because that's what it took.
The more they dug, the more the death toll rose. Bodies were buried deep and badly battered. Most, it seemed, had been killed instantly. By Monday afternoon, the searchers had given up hope. Then, the pleading voice of 3-year-old Lorraine Vanelli called out from beneath the mud. She was buried 10 feet deep, pinned by a fallen beam in the apartment building. Dozens of frantic men swarmed the area with shovels. It took hours to reach her. The rescuers carried the toddler out with a broken arm, bad burns on her legs, and wide brown eyes. But she died at the hospital just 2 hours later. The next weekend, local churches held 15 funerals. The old neighborhood has since become the heart of the city's tourist district, but the conditions for deadly landslides remain the same. Nagorski, the geologist, said rain is the most common trigger for Southeast slides.
If we've had rain after rain after rainstorm after rainstorm, and then there's an especially heavy rain event with wind or other factors, then that can do the trick.
And extreme heavy rainstorms are becoming more common because of human-caused climate change. Nagorski said that has the potential to make deadly landslides more common, too. Ultimately, it's impossible to say when the next deadly slide will happen in Juno.
So it's possible that a slope might not fail for the next several hundred years, or it might fail in the next atmospheric river.
She says when it does happen, it's more likely to be in a place where slides have happened before. Shaw says he's never forgotten the sight of the carnage on South Franklin Street.
And of course, there's been nothing like that since. that gives you a false sense of security. As far as I'm concerned, we're very lucky, extremely lucky.
But he worries that luck could change if Juno doesn't learn from its past. In Juno, I'm Anna Canny.
This is KTOO.